let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly sponsored this month by our friends from the Dolphin Theatre. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz to check out their latest shows and book your tickets. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe. Thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Tonight we have a jam-packed show. It's going to take me 5 minutes to read the intro because we've got the cast from both Madagascar Junior and Raise Your Voice Junior in the studio to chat about their upcoming seasons. Then later we chat to singer-songwriter Louise Loon and take a listen to her latest track. Author Owen Marshall joins us to chat about his latest book, and we are super excited to have live in person, not via Zoom from LA, this time it's here in person, Lisa Crawley in studio to chat about her up-and-coming concert and latest music releases. With that in mind, we'll kick off the show with one of her tracks, What You Can Do.
I miss the boat, I miss the train, I'm standing alone again, trying to be a friend to myself, cause I get ahead, thoughts run at the speed of light, I give myself a fright.
You can do.
do. Lisa Crawley, so excited to have her in later in the show. And Emma, I was just saying to your amazing students in here, you know, we taught her in shows and theatre back in the day in the old Blockhouse Bay Community Centre in the you're Playhouse Theatre. Lisa?
Yeah, but you're talking about 2 years ago when we were
back in the day, making out
that we're really old.
So how cool, you know, and now she's a fabulous international artist, so something for these guys to aspire to.
Nice
to see you. You and I haven't been in the studio for a bit together.
No, because you deserted me for 2 weeks and left me pushing the buttons. And then last week, we deserted everyone
and
did a pre-record. Oops. Yeah, no, pushing buttons was fine. I actually, there was only... I'm just trying to think. I think there was one mistake I made.
Oh, well done.
I know. I know. And that was just mistiming that I thought I had time for two songs and I only had time for one.
At least you didn't do my trick and thought there was time to go to the toilet and there wasn't. That's still the worst.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen some shows over the last week. You and I went to Heather's the other night at the Civic Theatre.
We did. Thank you very much to GMG Productions and Stoddart Entertainment for the tickets for the Stage Antics cast of Heather's to get along to see Heather's. And I also went last night as well, so I saw it twice.
A short season in Auckland, then they're off
around the country.
They're done here.
They're done in New Zealand, so they've got 3 weeks off. Sorry, there's a little fly flying in my face right now. 3 weeks off, I believe, and then they're off to Perth.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. And you also caught up with our friends from Anne Juliet, but this time in Christchurch.
I did. I flew down to Christchurch last weekend and caught the show again. It was great to see it this long after the opening up here.
So cool to think of a Kiwi show doing that length of season.
Really cool.
And
really
I zipped off to Melbourne and saw Waitress and finally got to see it after years of wanting to.
I can't believe that you have never seen it.
I know.
Should I tell you I've seen it twice on Broadway?
Yeah, well, I took my daughters and they'd seen it on Broadway. But no, Ozzy did a great job. And there was a couple of Kiwis in the cast. So, yeah, well done. Great to see Ozzy's bustling with lots of theatre happening. And Civic Theatre's got a lot coming up still too. So lots happening here.
Definitely.
Now, you've brought in a studio full of young people, very giggly, noisy young people for a Sunday night. Emma, do you want to tell us what this is all about?
So I'm surprised that all six of them have got as much energy as that they have, although a couple of them look like they could do with going to bed right now. They've had rehearsals today, so Raise Your Voice Junior cast, which is MTI's new Broadway Junior review show.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard of that one before.
Which actually Stage Antics piloted 5 years ago in Dunedin. It was one of our first ever summer pilots. And so to actually be doing the New Zealand premiere of it is quite a cool little spin around for Stage Antics. And I actually said to the team today as well, it was really cool because we packed into the Rose Centre. Our director's actually standing in the room as well, but she's not talking. For both of us, we did our first Stage Antics show at the Rose Centre 5 years ago when we did Godspell Junior. So it's a bit of a full circle moment there. So I've got three of the students, our wonderful performers, who are senior Stage Antics, senior juniors. They're the older ones of our junior cast here. And then...
if we move it over to the other side of the studio.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I know.
We're moving it. So I've got three of the cast here from South Auckland, Stage Antics South Auckland, Madagascar Junior.
Brilliant. Hi, team. Welcome.
Hello.
Great to have you all here. So let's start with Raise Your Voice. First of all, you said it was a review. Emma, is there like a story that links it all together, or is it very much highlights?
There is a story that links it together. The joy of Raise Your Voice Junior is MTI have given permission for you to do anything you want with it. In the sense of you've got to do the songs in the 15 songs and in the order. But what you do in between the numbers, they're actually opening that up. And, I mean, I saw an adjudication in Sacramento, where the linking bits were all done via cell phones and different things,
clever.
And they put it into a very modern context.
Okay, Hilary, I'm going to throw it to you then. How are you linking it without giving away everything, but enough to make people want to book and see it? Tell us, how is your story linking together?
I think that it is a very exciting show, as there are lots of very good performers, all under 16, and everyone's working so hard and putting heaps of energy and excitement, and it's coming along together so well, and it's very ready to be performed on stage.
Oh, talk about a sales pitch. Keep her on. There's your marketing department. So, Hillary, with the story, how are you weaving the songs together?
Well, they are all very high energy, and they all have a good meaning about them when you think deeper, and I think it really gets the audience thinking and excited for the next one to come.
Ooh, do you have a favourite song in the show?
My favourite is Consider Yourself from Oliver.
Oh, good old Oliver. Oh, okay, so I'm curious then, let's go down the line. Nikki, tell us, what's your favourite song in the show?
My favourite song is Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat from Guys and Dolls Jr.
Okay, excellent. And Anouk, yours?
My favourite is These Palace Walls from Aladdin Jr.
Okay, so a real mix of music, Emma, mix of ages, I guess, that the shows came out. You said it was all from junior shows.
It is.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite?
Actually, my favourite is Why We Tell the Story from Once on This Island Jr., which is the last song in the show.
Nice.
Because the whole thing, of course, about musical theatre is all about storytelling, and it is why we tell the story.
Okay, so Nikki, tell us, how long have you been rehearsing this?
We have been rehearsing since the start of the year.
Okay, so big times, is this like part of your weekly classes and things?
Yes, every Wednesday night.
Okay, and how's it shaping up? No pressure, the director's filming you.
It's coming together really well now.
Now, you three are no strangers to productions and stage antics and all of that sort of thing. So, Anouk, what makes this show different from some of the others? Come right up to your mic, yeah.
Well, it's really exciting because there's a lot of new people who have joined, so it's been really nice to make new friends and meet new people. And, yeah, it's been really fun.
And, Hillary, being a review-type show where it is songs from different shows, does that feel different to, say, walking in and doing a specific script and show that you know?
It's definitely different to doing just a normal, like, show with, like, you know, a title and everything. So it's with all the different groups and songs and performances, it's definitely a mix-up and it's super exciting and cool.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I was going to say, though, all three of these students had a bit of an experience last year because, of course, we did it. Stage Antics did Expect the Unexpected Cabaret, which was a review show as well in a cabaret style. So the girls had all had the experience of being in that situation before.
Nice, nice. Okay. All right, if we move down the line to Madagascar. Now, we know Madagascar so well, but tell me, is it the same as the movie or are we going to see some different things, Tatum?
I would say that it's pretty similar to the movie because I think it was a few weeks ago I rewatched the entirety of Madagascar and I saw so many similarities and I was like, okay, I love that.
Brilliant. Okay. Emma, is there a full Madagascar musical or just a junior one? I don't think I've ever seen the full one.
Well, there's a slightly longer one, which was what GMG taught. I think it's just called Madagascar, a musical adventure, rather than junior.
Right.
But it's not much longer. I seem to recall it was only 90 minutes long, and it was the one that Andrew Pappas played Alex the Lion, and Mark Bradley was the musical director.
Now I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So, but it was only 90 minutes long, so it was actually not much different from the junior at all.
Okay. Zoe, what's your favourite number in the show?
Well, my favourite number will probably be the penguin sea shanty because I am one of the penguins and it's really fun to sing and just like vibe with all the other penguins about how we love to go back where we belong.
Okay.
It's really fun.
Nice. All right. And Alex, had you seen Madagascar, the movie, before you auditioned?
Yeah, I watched the movie quite a bit. I have a DVD of it at home. I've seen it a lot and it helped me a lot to go into the show knowing what it's all about.
Nice. Hey, Alex, maybe tell them too that you've been in Madagascar Junior before.
Oh, yes, I've done Madagascar before. I played Maurice.
Cool. So who are you playing? We're going to go down the whole line now. Who are you playing this time?
This show was Stage Antics. I'm playing King Julian.
So you literally like to move it, move it.
So it's a really fun and energetic role. So I really enjoy playing it. It's really fun.
Have you tried to make it your own, or is it more about trying to replicate the movie because everyone wants to come and see that person?
It's hard to make it your own, so you try to.
Okay.
I really enjoy it, trying to make my own moves, own the stage. It's what King Julian does. So.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right, Zoe, you said you're a penguin. Does your penguin have a name?
Yes, I am Skipper, the leader of the penguins.
Right. Is that the one that gets quite frustrated with everybody?
I wouldn't say frustrated, but yeah.
You're pretty bossy, though.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the bossy Skipper. All right, very important. And Tatum, who do you play?
I play Marty the Zebra.
Oh, yes. Everyone feels sorry for Marty.
Her name is Marty. She is a zebra.
I ain't no horse and I ain't no Libra. And that's
brilliant. Brilliant. So have we got you locked up in a crate?
Oh, well, you'd actually have to book tickets to find out.
Oh, nice segue there. Okay, all right. Now, when we go to raise your voice, do you play multiple roles throughout the show depending on which number's coming up?
I am in, like, many featured roles and group performances, and I'm also Al in So Much Better from Legally Blonde Junior.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. What's it like taking on Al?
It's a pretty cool role because it's like fun personality and fun girl, and lots of the fun happens with all the other girls in the performance with me.
Okay, cool. Nikki, what about you? Do you have multiple roles as well?
Yes, I have lots of featured roles throughout the show, but I also play Chad in High School Musical. We're all in this together.
Okay, we've got High School Musical in there. So you had me till then. You just lost me. All right. Okay. Anouk, who do you play?
I play Lada Lord in James and the Giant Peach Jr. and I play Jasmine in Aladdin Jr.
So tell us about your character in James and the Giant Peach, because we're going to hit play on a track for that.
It's very different. I really like playing him. It's really cool. It's quite new, but it's been really, really fun.
So let's have a listen to the song Right Before Your Eyes. What's happening in the story leading up to this song?
I'm basically telling James about all of the amazing and weird things that happen.
Let's have
And this is the listen. Opening number of the show.
Oh, cool. Okay, let's take it away.
Come with me to see something strange unfold. Hear the weirdest tale that was ever told. From this rare depiction, some will swear it's fiction. Yet each peculiar twist that I tell is true, and you shall see it in plain view. Right before your eyes, marvel as magic is on display. Right before your eyes, all might seem tragic, but then it's okay. Poof, a new surprise, right before your eyes. Buckle up, we're off on a bumpy ride. Where a magic spell and a boy collide. Our story features
tons of crazy creatures
and
two atrocious odds every child will fear. Oh dear,
who knows what might appear?
Right before your eyes,
scrumptious and scary adventure starts.
Right before your eyes,
children be wary if you're faint of heart.
Potion, run and low in the dark.
I was waiting for the three girls to all sing three-part harmony.
And I think you were having more fun than them in that number.
I was trying to enthuse them and get them energetic.
Did they not cast you? Did Louise not give you a role this year?
No, Louise did not give me a role this year.
Dear. Alex, so before the music break, I said to you, in the music break, I said I want you to have a think about the future. Like, you're doing drama for fun now and musical theatre. Is it something that you're hoping you can keep doing right through your teenage years, into your young adult years, become a Louise and direct, or an Emma and produce? Is this something that interests you?
Yeah, I think it interests me quite a lot. Well, in my next school, I'm planning to try to take drama and performing arts as one of my subjects. And maybe when I get older, I can take it as a little side thing, or maybe even try go for it as a career, maybe. But just planning on a little side.
Love it. That's called a little thing on the side. I like that. Okay. Hilary, what about you?
I think that performing arts is such a fun thing to be involved in, and all the people are always so amazing wherever I've done performing arts. So I think it's a really exciting thing for the future. And, yeah, I'll see where it takes me.
You just have the most amazing energy. You've got absolutely got it.
Hilary doesn't stop. She's someone that awesome. I don't think I've ever seen Hilary not smiling. And look, the girls agree with me.
Yeah. That's so cool. Do you have performing arts in your school as well?
Yes, there was a show recently at our school that the three of us were all involved in.
What was that?
That was Legally Blonde.
Ah, okay. So, all right, so you got a bit of a Legally Blonde theme there. Okay, cool. And Anouk, what about you? When you leave school and things, do you see this as a career?
Yes, 100%. I've been doing acting my whole life, and I just love it so much, and I definitely want to continue doing it in the future.
Okay, cool. Tatum, what is it about theatre and things that you love so much?
Oh, I just absolutely love the singing and dancing part of it.
Okay.
Yes.
So doing shows like this, suddenly you get to put those skills into practice?
Yes.
Nice. And is this something you see yourself doing forever?
Well, I'd hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a lot. Despite me not taking drama this year, I would really like to study something similar to drama in uni.
Nice. Okay. Zoe, what about you?
Well, I definitely want to pursue an acting career, because it's not just the singing, dancing and acting that I love so much about the musicals. It's the making new friends along the way, and how it is so awesome to meet new people, and especially how acting can often take you all over the world sometimes.
I love that. The making the friends is so important. Nikki, do you find that's the same thing? You've obviously got two very close friends beside you. Like, is the theatre a place that you build those friendships?
Yeah, I've built lots of friendships through theatre, like so many people that I wouldn't be friends with if I hadn't have joined theatre.
Now, you guys are performing at the Rose Centre in the Belmont on North Shore, and you packed in today. Have you been in there today as well? So what's it looking and vibing like? Starting to feel like it's coming together?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what are you looking forward to most once it has an audience in front of it, Nikki?
I'm just excited to see how the show all comes together once we're actually on stage performing.
Okay, cool. Now, Tatum, you're moving to the Dewdrop Centre out south. Now, that's a big theatre space. Mm-hmm. Have you been in there before?
Yes, I have.
So what are you thinking when you're thinking, I'm going to now be the person on the stage?
I'm mostly thinking of the audience's reactions to a lot of the things, like the events that happen throughout the musical.
Ah, cool. Yes. You love feeding off that?
Yes, I do.
That's nice. Now, Emma, this is part of a schools program as well, isn't it, at Dewdrop? So you've got schools coming to see the shows?
Yeah, so our first four shows are schools performances. So we've got 2,500 kids coming to see us over the first 2 days, which is pretty exciting. And I must say that Zoe and Tatum have both performed at Dewdrop before with National Youth Theatre in both. Were you both in Lion King?
Yes.
Both in Lion King, cool. And both in High School Musical.
Now, Zoe, when you're at home practicing, are your parents sick of the Madagascar songs already, or do they sing along?
Oh, my parents are definitely sick of it, and so is my brother, despite being in Madagascar.
Oh, no.
They were sick of it probably last year, though. Do you want to tell them why, Zoe?
Well, we always, every year, do this really fun thing. With NYT, I did this JTF, Junior Theatre Festival, and it was so fun. And we got to do, what's it called?
The New Work Showcase.
Yeah, the New Work Showcase, which was Madagascar Junior. And I got the same character, Skipper, and it was so fun, and there were so many fun songs to do.
Nice, nice. That's cool. Alex, how many different shows have you done before? Like, is this, you mentioned you've done one playing this role, but or in this show before, but have you done other shows as well?
I think my total comes to 7.
Okay.
Maybe 8 including this. I've done Annie Jr., Alice in Wonderland, I've done Aladdin, Madagascar before, and I've also done Seussical. And along that, I also did a full big show of Annie again. I had a coat boy role. I was just bringing on coats for people. Mm-hmm. It was quite fun. I enjoyed it. And I also did like a 5th birthday show with Encore. And yeah.
Nice, nice variety. And it sounds like you've had that nice mix of ensemble character and lead roles, which are also important. We've got a little track to play from Madagascar. It's just a short track called Best Friends. Now, I believe this is your song, Tatum?
Yes, it is.
What's happening when this gets sung in the show?
So, basically, what is happening is right after Marty admits that he wants to go into the wild, Marty's friends say, oh, that is such a bad idea. And, of course, Marty is a little bit upset. When Alex says, what are you going to do? Go off into the wild by yourself? Marty says, no, you and me, because we're best friends.
Oh, what a great segue.
The wild! We can be back by morning. No one will even know. What do you say?
You know what I say, Marty? Ain't nothing in the world that could tear us apart.
Aw, don't do that.
You're my friend. Ain't nothing in the universe that could come in between us. If you're in a rut, I will pick you up and bring you back to who you are. Yeah, come on, Marty.
Anything that you need, I'm here for you. Wherever I need to be, I'm there for you. Unconditional, even if it ain't cool. I'm there when you need me. Need a shoulder to cry on, it's here for you. Need a friend to rely on, I'm there for you. Unconditional, I know you're my buddy. And you're my bestest friend.
Quiet, you fools! We're not all nocturnal, you know.
Anything that you need, I'm here for ya. Wherever I need to be, I'm there for ya. Unconditional, I know you're my buddy. And you're my bestest friend. Yeah, you're my bestest friend. I know you're my bestest friend.
Oh, best friend, sounds great. Now, Emma, this is just one of many shows that you do in a year. You do it with your own Stage Antics group, but you also do the show in the weeks, which anyone can sign up to all around the country. When you pack up Madagascar, what's next on the horizon for you? Dear I ask. This, ladies and gentlemen, is when I find out how many Sundays she's going to be missing the show.
Yeah, so, yeah, Raise Your Voice in Madagascar ends basically this term, and then I go straight down to Tapa Nui. We're doing a pilot for MTI of a brand new musical down in Tapa Nui. Ooh. With 30 kids down there, and then I go straight from there to Hadestown in Queenstown with Wakatipu High School, and then it's term 3 up here where we're rehearsing Heathers, the musical, with our 16 to 19 year olds in Takapuna. And then in the October holidays, I have a show in a week in Queenstown and a show in a week in Auckland, which people can register for if you're listening, for both of those things. And then we have Junior Theatre Festival, and then I have an end of year showcase, and we might be doing one more show towards the end of next year because I've been asked if I will, and I, yeah, we'll see.
Wow. So if people want to sign up to one of those ones that have availability, how do people find out?
www.stageantics.nz or follow us on social media. We are kind of all over social media and it gets quite busy because of all the shows we're doing, but hey, it's great to see everything. People who have been watching Stage Antics, of course, know Hadestown was only a few weeks ago, and yeah, so check out our social media.
Awesome. All right, so Raise Your Voice, Hillary, is coming up very soon. Tell us when, where, and how can people get tickets?
The show is on the 19th and 20th of June at the Rose Centre in Belmont, and tickets can be sold, well, and bought at iticket.co.nz. If you search Raise Your Voice, it'll pop up. So make sure you get your tickets there.
And what do you hope, Hillary, if I hide the secret Kick-Arts microphone in the foyer and audience are leaving, what do you hope they're going to say after the show?
I hope that they're really impressed and surprised with the talent that has been brought to life on stage.
Salesperson in the making there. Fantastic. Awesome. Well, all the best for Raise Your Voice. I look forward to catching it next weekend. Go well and have an amazing season.
Thank you.
All right, Tatum, where do people head for Madagascar Junior? When's it on, where's it at, and where do people grab tickets?
The public shows are on 26th and 27th of June at Dewdrop Event Centre. The tickets can be found at Event Finder. So look forward to that.
And same question, we've hidden the secret microphone. What are you hoping people will say about Madagascar Junior?
Marty is so cool. Oh, and everyone else too.
Nice. You guys did really well to promote your shows tonight. All the best with Madagascar and Dewdrop. We'll look forward to catching that later in the month. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep smiling. Keep working hard. And keep theatre alive in your world.
Thank you.
And Emma, just remind us, where can people go for your site to get all that information?
So all that can be found on stageantics.nz. And, of course, both of these shows are on Kick-Arts What's On.
Fantastic. Now, Greta O'Leary was in not so long ago with her latest album. She's just released the music video, Year of the Dog. Here it is.
Dear Lord, I was born the year of the dog. But I like horses, I ride horses. We kept a few round the bed. Then they died. The nouns in their place, my heart stands upon a looking place, seeing now, behold me. The year of the dog. First I died, left you all behind. Grab hold again, girl, I was born the year of the dog. Grab myself, caught up.
Greta O'Leary with Year of the Dog. She was in not so long ago, but now released her fabulous music videos. Go and check them out on YouTube. Emma, what a bright bunch of young students you just had in this space.
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to give the younger ones too the opportunity to come and do something like the radio. Because I was trying to think when the first time was I ever spoke on the radio, and gosh, I can't even remember when it would have been now. Like, I definitely wasn't a young teenager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that is so cool. Such a good opportunity. And, yeah, good luck to them with their busy shows. And ticket sales, all of theatres sort of feeling that quietness. Everyone's going paycheck to paycheck, so you kind of need people to get out there and support.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is, like I talked about this a little bit on the pre-record last week, I think it was, or might have been the week before when everyone had to put up with me waffling for that to fill in that time. You know, I just talked about the fact that COVID was a long time ago, and most things aren't getting cancelled now, so we actually need to retrain ourselves to book and commit, because as a producer, it's actually really, really scary when you're looking at ticket sales and going, oh, is it going to happen? And then, you know, in the last few days, suddenly it's like boom, 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 and it does happen, but it's still a big risk.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right, well, from one risk to another, I guess being an author these days is also a risk, because you invest so much time into creating something and then hope that people nab it. So we're going to chat now to author Owen Marshall about his latest book, Beyond the Border and Other Poems. Welcome to the show, Owen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. And tell us, first of all, what is this book all about?
Well, I've always been interested in poetry, but most of my early writing career I was concerned with fiction, with novels and short stories. But when I became a full-time writer in the late 1980s, I felt the need to perhaps extend my writing a bit, and so I started to spend some time on poems. And one of the interesting things I found was the different creative process that I found. I couldn't will poems in the way that I could the prose fiction. So it was an interesting experience, and I think most writers do like to challenge themselves into different genres of writing.
And so how have you themed this genre together in this book?
Well, I'm 84 now. Most of my life is behind me rather than ahead. So there is a certain retrospective, almost elegiac quality to these poems. Generally, I'm looking back. I'm sort of assessing. I'm interested in evaluating things that have happened to me and the experiences that I've been able to have during my life. So there is, I think, quite a strong retrospective aspect to most of the poems. On the other hand, I hope, too, that there are elements of humour and whimsy.
Who do you think the book is sort of aimed at or most likely to pick it up and love it?
Well, I think, to be honest, it's probably for an older readership, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, look, when I look back at your history, I mean, oh, my goodness, you know, we're talking to royalty tonight. You've held the Catherine Mansfield Memorial Fellowship in Menton in 1996. You've won the Montana New Zealand Book Awards for fiction in 2000. The same year you were made an Officer of New Zealand Order of Merit, before being made a Companion of New Zealand Order of Merit in 2012 and 13. You won the Prime Minister's Award for Literacy Achievement in Fiction. So, oh my goodness, what a long list. When you look back at everything you have done, what are some of those favourite moments that stand out?
Well, I think I've been lucky. I've been well supported by my fellow writers in New Zealand. Also, although most writers in a small market like New Zealand don't make huge amounts of money, there are other opportunities. My writing has taken me to Antarctica, to China, Norfolk Island, several times to Europe. And you mentioned the wonderful Catherine Mansfield Montan Fellowship. on the Riviera and Mediterranean. So, yes, I think to some degree, writing is a selfish, isolating occupation. On the other hand, it also has these wonderful opportunities to get out there in the world and to experience new things. And I think I've been very lucky.
Do you have a particular book that you sort of, you know, takes pride of place on the shelf as always been the most successful?
The most successful book I've written was a historical novel called The Larnacs, which was based on the famous Larnac family in Dunedin, and tourists still go to what's called Larnac Castle in Dunedin. And it's a very melodramatic story of success and then financial failure and eventually a suicide in the Houses of Parliament. And that's been my most successful book.
So what's next on the horizon? Never say never. What's around the corner?
Well, I don't know that I'll tackle again the long slog of a novel. I won't say I won't, but I'm mainly writing short fiction and poetry now. And I enjoy short fiction. I've always enjoyed reading short fiction. Wonderful writers like William Trevor and Alice Munro and John Cheever and so on, and wonderful writers in New Zealand. Probably our two most successful early writers, Catherine Mansfield and Frank Sargeson. So we have a long and honourable tradition of short fiction in New Zealand. And I do enjoy the challenge of the short story.
Fantastic. Where can people go and pick up Beyond the Border and other poems?
Well, I think it should be available in most bookshops. It's published by Quentin Wilson Publishers, and I think it should be available in most shops. I'm particularly pleased, actually. This is my fifth collection of poetry, and in a way it's a full circle, because my first poetry book was published by Quentin, I think, in the beginning of the 2000s, and so now it's quite nice that Quentin has published my book. Yeah.
That is very cool. That is very cool indeed. Well, Owen, thank you so much for chatting to us late on a Sunday night. We appreciate it. We encourage people to head out to your bookshops and grab Beyond the Border and other poems. And thanks for chatting to us on Kick Arts.
Thank you for the opportunity. All the very best for you and your program.
Cool. Thanks, Owen. Take care.
Thanks, Owen.
Now, after the break, we have the fabulous Lisa Crawley in the show, in the studio, and we're going to be playing some of her more recent songs, but I have to play an old favourite to kick it off while she gets settled in, and that, of course, is one of my favourites, Elizabeth.
Putting herself out there ever since she could remember, singing songs to anyone who'd hear. She felt patronized, wanted to cry, but kept her head held high, told herself.
Delighted to have that singer in the studio. We play your music a lot, Lisa. We give you lots of plugs.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Welcome back to New Zealand.
Thank you.
So
how's
life been treating you?
Life's been treating me pretty well. You know, it has its ups and downs. I've been based in Los Angeles since 2020, so that fun time. A month before shut down, I came over with my first artist visa and was all ready to find gigs and everything, and then had to wait a year and a half to do that. But I'm still there and I'm still working full time in music and the arts, and it's a lot of fun. It's a, you know, sometimes chaotic place, but it's got lots of different opportunities and different capacities with music and performing arts, which I find suits me quite well.
Yeah.
I work in as a songwriter and write songs with other people, sometimes for little film and TV projects and arrangements. And then I play piano bars. One of them specializes in show tunes.
Nice.
It's owned by Darren Chris from Glee. And
oh, wow.
Cool.
He's the owner, and so he shows up sometimes and plays with us. And a lot of theatre people come in. It's sort of based on Marie's Crisis in New York, if you've heard of that place. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a really fun place. I do a lot of... those gigs are quite funny because it's different because all requests. So I might play for 4 hours and it's all nonstop requests all night. So it's a lot of checking your phone for people, and, you know, what song you want, looking it up, the sheet music.
Using that technology, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But my, you know, my passion is my original music, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of people doing it there, so you have to really just be persistent. And I didn't have the best start with not being able to work as a musician, and I had from the pandemic. Mm. But then when things were opening up, I really had to just go hard and find my own opportunities and make those happen and connect with people. And
but it was during the pandemic, I think, we connected with you on Zoom, and you were, because I remember your cat.
Oh yeah, I've still got Iris
coming around in the middle of the Zoom.
Yeah.
But you were doing some really cool different stuff, because we were talking about what do your neighbours think, you know, you hadn't long moved in. Is it about having to have that variety in order to make it as an artist over there?
I think it helps. I mean, every Uber driver is some kind of they go, oh, listen to my song. You know, everyone's doing a lot of different things. Not everyone, but it's not uncommon. I remember growing up and almost embarrassed that I didn't just do my own music, but now it's like very normal and it's quite celebrated in a way. And I didn't know if that was, maybe I felt weird about it, or just it was thought covers or playing other people's songs, or, you know, doing that was some sign of not making it as an artist. But it's actually, they've all kind of woven together and helped one another in those different worlds. My piano stuff's helped my original music. It's led me to meet people that have recorded my albums, and yeah, so I'm rolling with it, and I'm slowly in progress. I'm playing somewhere. You can play somewhere every night if you want to, but for me it's a bit too much. If I exhaust myself every night, it can take its toll creatively. And
especially if you're doing 4 or 5 hours of requests.
Yes. Yeah. That gets pretty crazy. And I've been playing in Vegas recently as well. I sometimes have a goal, like want to make money for my next album or pay off my artist visa to live in the States for a few more years, even though some people think, why would you want to do that? But there's once you find your people, it's such a fun place to be.
You've made it your home.
Yeah. I've played at some pretty interesting places, and the variety is pretty crazy, you know, from, you know, sometimes you don't know where you're going, and some celebrity house, Sharon Stone's house or something, and you're overhearing the conversations while I'm playing, and then One gig was like, instead of them giving birthday presents, it was like 10 friends at her house, they would gift a song that I would have to quickly learn. So I had like 5 hours notice to learn these different 10 songs as their present to the person. You know, just really different things. And yeah, the Vegas stuff is all requests too as well. So I'm really grateful I have those skills to pay for different creative things. More recently, I was working on a pop record for one of my favorite British pop artists that I grew up with. And my friend, who's a producer from New Zealand, wrote a couple of her songs. And then he asked me to help turn it into a piano-only album as an additional thing. Right. So that kind of stuff really excites me. I love taking songs and rearranging them. And I'm finding that skill of improvising songs that I've only heard once or something, and turning it into a minor song. There's a market for that in trailer music, and just different things that I'm discovering. And yeah,
that's so cool. Now, last time you were here in New Zealand for once,
yes.
Well, probably not the last time you've been here, but it was the last well-known time that you were here. And so, you know, you grew up with your passion of theatre. Do you still have any of that sort of stuff happening in your world?
Yeah, I mean, after that, or maybe it was before that, I did a cabaret show called Elizabeth that was based on kind of autobiographical of someone that's stuck playing in a hotel with something, other things are going on. And I wrote that with Bullet Heart Club, who do a lot of shows in Edinburgh Fringe, and they did Daffodils, the movie musical, as well. So I really enjoy doing that. I'd like to kind of bring that back. And I think the piano place I play at is called Tramp Stamp Grannies, which is a bit of a funny name, but it's kind of been a great outlet for that sort of more theatrical side, and requesting lots of show tunes, and then all sorts of people show up, theatre stars sometimes, people from the original cast of Songs for New World, and just being able to connect, and then people might get up, but mostly it's me singing them, so it's kind of switching hats, and it's really good use of, I get to kind of be more theatrical in that sense as well. And also my music videos, it's kind of fun to act in those as well.
Well, I was going
to
talk about that, because your music videos are impressive. Like, we were just commenting before we went on air tonight, like your latest ones.
Someone must have had a great drama teacher growing up.
Yeah, you've done some acting in there, but you've put some dollars behind them as well. They're fantastic.
Yeah, some of them I was lucky to get some ends on air funding for, but maybe only a sixth of them or something. I think there's like 29.
Right.
I just love creating. I love, you know, being able to. Some of them are better than others as well. Some of them are my phone, but they might have had more traction than the ones.
Funny. Yeah.
It's the thing, you don't really need a lot of money. You just need a good idea. Like that one you can see with that man in the shadow. That is one of the vampires from What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
In the original movie. And he just needed somewhere to stay for the night, and I've known him forever. So staying on my couch, and then we're like, it's to a music video. So a friend, Nikki, who's a Kiwi as well, we just got together, and, you know, I put as much money as I could into it, but it was very little. Like, you don't have to have all this money, but it's just finding an idea and finding someone good to collaborate with.
And is that about keeping, like, we just played Greta's track earlier, and she'd released that track earlier in the year, but now has sort of re-released the album with music videos. Is that about keeping the music alive as well by releasing it different ways, different times?
I think so, and I think it's just such a evolving thing to know. I don't think there's one way to do things. I don't think having an official music video is gonna maybe reach some people, that someone in their bedroom playing guitar and just keeping it really, really organic might reach someone. So it's just, there's no one way of doing things, but I try and balance it out with some more raw, maybe live videos. But it is interesting, and just the way that a lot of people say you can't just be an artist anymore, you have to be doing all these other things. And I was talking to my friend today who just released an album, and she's just like, why? You know, I don't want to have to do dancing. And, you know, just, the audience isn't, that's not the audience she wants to reach. But it's forever. It's kind of a forever question mark. And it's good to play around with different things. But I try and keep it real. And if I can make a fun music video and bring an idea to life and kind of reenact something, then I will. But if it's just going to be in my phone, that's okay too. I did a video for this song because it's coming over, and actually had the trip to New Zealand planned before I was going to release a single. And I talked to my friend who promoted a lot of the Greg Johnson shows, and I've been quite involved with touring with him for the last 10 years or so. And a lot of my audience, like some of my audience was from people finding out about me through him. And so he was like, oh, I've got a single to put out. And I guess I've got this one song that's kind of fun and it's got my clarinets and whatnot. And so I decided to put that out. And then I don't think I'm very good at going back to New Aotearoa and just relaxing. I got to do a gig. Got to do something.
Got to do something.
And then I'm more stressed for that. But I think in the long term, it's makes me feel, I don't know, it's just something I love to do. And
it sounds like you've always got to have something in the making as well because for that next opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. So many random gigs as well. Like, I played a Mother's Day brunch in Beverly Hills and guess who walks in? Adele. And guess where they sit? Her, like, right there, basically. Like, husky from
and
playing.
What did you do?
What's that?
What did you do when that happened?
Freak out.
Yeah.
Also, I'd been playing till like 2 in the morning the night before in Hollywood, doing all these, trying to sing One Day More, all the parts by myself, and, you know, so late. And so then I get up, do this gig at 10 a.m., and of course, you're sitting there and I'm playing for 3 hours. And I was like, well, definitely not going to sing Adele.
You didn't just turn and go, hello.
Tempting. No. I was, you know what I was trying to do? Because I grew up on so much like British pop music, like S Club 7. I'm showing my age for S Club 7. And I did a tour of Simply Red as their opener. And so I was trying to, like, do these hints to her that I know, you know, Robbie Williams and stuff. Like, hey, I understand that you grew up in England and I'm not playing just cliche American songs just for you, but I'm not trying to be too desperate, but I want you to notice me. And I played some originals and played a song called Hey You, and she was bopping along. And I was like, can you please record this?
Yeah. And please, can I play at your next gig? Yeah.
No, and she said thank you at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, the random stuff and the opportunities that have come from unexpected things, like thinking that no one's listening and then something might happen, like playing at a wedding and I thought no one was listening in LA and just, you know, blah, 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 maybe a wallpaper music. And then the guy that decides all the music for Minecraft and HBO and White Lotus and all these shows, and that's called a music supervisor, he came up to me and he said he liked the versions of my songs and did I have a sync licensing company, which I did, but he was like, reach out to me directly because I'm not really getting yours. And I looked him up, and 2 years ago he'd put one of my songs on a show called Stumptown. So you're just like, it's so random. I just like the, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you can try and be the best version of yourself to be ready for those little opportunities that can come up.
When you think back to those COVID times and those tough times landing in that city, but now you hear everything, you've made the right decision. It feels like it. Like you're in a place of influence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was so broke during COVID that I would pick up stuff off Facebook for free. And like, because I moved there, I got my visa approved. But then I didn't have any money to get over to New Zealand because the lawyers were so expensive.
Wow.
So I took a cruise gig and they flew me to LA and I played between LA and Mexico for 6 weeks. And I said, you know, because Americans tip, which is a whole other confusing thing. But I was like, I'm going to take every song request thrown at me. And I put all these cards out on the tables, you know, and took as many requests as I could. Even if I'd never heard of it, I was like, yeah, sure, I got that. And I quickly tried. Yeah, so that was just how I funded my trip to be in LA. And then, okay, I'm in LA, it was like mid-January, and then, oh no.
Wow.
Tried to look for some gigs, that Piano Bar, Tramps and Grannies, I saw auditions on Instagram. They threw me on at midnight and played some Four Non Blondes, some My Best Thing Along kind of songs, then they gave me two gigs, and then the shutdown happened. So I just really, it was very humbling, and I'm glad I stayed, but it was definitely not an easy time for me, as most people, but and quite lonely as well. But
great.
That's why I got the cat.
Yeah, great story of perseverance. All right, we're going to talk a little later about what's brought you to New Zealand for this round. We're going to play one of your tracks and get our next guest on the phone, who is an up-and-coming New Zealand artist, so a wonderful opportunity for you to be part of that discussion. So tell us about Hurry Up and Wait. What made you write this one?
This was actually, I've normally written my songs solo, but this is with my good friend Rob Kleiner, and I've actually done quite a bit with him. And his someone that he's worked with, Ashley Miles, wanted to do a song together. So we wrote it down. You know, it's just all about the mistiming and things that, you know, you've got to, there's this rush to do things. You've got to achieve something by a certain age, or, you know, you're just not, maybe it's with dating. You're not ready for each other at the same time, or you just kind of always not quite aligning. And so I guess Hurry Up and Wait is kind of about that set in the cinema that I worked at during the pandemic for next to no money. I snuck in there last week and made a music video for that.
Brilliant. So this is literally hot off the press.
Yeah, I put this out on Friday.
So fantastic.
Thanks for chatting.
Cool. Here's Hurry Up and Wait, and then we'll get Louise on the phone and come back to Lisa a little later in the show. Hurry Up and Wait.
Take two. Rain checks and rainy days. Forecast nothing new. Always stuck in traffic. Out on the 405. Let's not get dramatic. Either way, we'll both survive. Tired of the mystery. Just lay it on the line. Hurry up and wait. Some history, round and round we go. Hurry up and wait. Every time I open up, you hesitate. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Goes on and on.
And wait, Lisa Crawley. Lisa, that's a fantastic music video.
Oh,
I can't believe that you've just pieced that together so quickly.
I know. I was very lucky to have my friend work quickly under a deadline, and I had to keep reminding him, New Zealand's a day ahead. I have to have it out on Friday. New Zealand's a day ahead.
Brilliant. No, it's really cool, really cool. Go and check it out on YouTube, but we'll chat a little bit later on about what's brought you here and your gig coming up. But feel free to be part of this conversation now as we jump on the phone to chat to Louise Loon. Good evening, Louise.
Hi, good evening.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're breaking up a little bit, so hopefully you're in a place that we can hear you okay. Now, tell us a little bit about your music journey. When did it all kick off for you?
Probably kicked off.
I'm sorry, Louise, you're just breaking up. I might get you to change rooms or somewhere, because it was nice and clear when we first chatted to you, but it's made you sound a little bit like a robot. It's just breaking up. To see if you've got a different place that you can head to and see if that's any better.
Okay. Hold on.
Are
you sure to find the video?
We'll let Louise find a space. While she's looking, Lisa, what do you do from a publicity point of view? Do you do lots of interviews and things over there as well to sort of build your brand?
In LA?
In LA?
It's a little trickier. Not as, you know, it's...
Not as easy and friendly as down here.
Exactly. I'm very lucky to have such a supportive community here. I actually did get some love on a station called KCOW, which was nice and completely random how he found the song, which is funny because I paid companies a lot of money to try and get songs on the radio. Yeah. And then you just need to, it's a different way of finding someone. They found the song and then added it to their playlist. And a lot of LA friends in LA said they've heard it, and it's NPR. I've done a couple of interviews with them. So yeah, it's just perseverance. Mm. Yeah. And there are some more community stations. I've just got to get to them, got to find the right people. Yeah,
that's cool. All right, Louise, have you found a better spot? Oh, sadly, you are breaking up. I wonder if it's a bad line. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play your track now. And while we're playing it, I'm going to ring you back and we'll see if we can hook you up with a better line. So this is Louise's latest track. It's called Shapeshifter. Take it away.
However do you do it? When it comes to deception, you just seem so fluent. And oh, your master crafted stories are perfectly paired with all your moving top stories. But your facade just wasn't consistent. The act you put up, it was barely coherent. Say one thing, then moving so different. Go, I want my listen. I support women. You're a shapeshifter. I forget when you lose cover. You point fingers, but your camouflage can only take you so far. That's what you are, shapeshifter. You're so Machiavellian, with your skin changing colors like you're a chameleon. Then just for good measure, you get angry. Go all, get a load of this guy. My God, what an asshole. And then I'm like, no backbone. Why are you so flexible? Gonna always me. Whoa, do you think no one would know? You're a shapeshifter. Get on you, lose cover. Point fingers, but your camouflage can only take you so far. That's what you are, shapeshifter. Not to sound over dramatic, but I think I call you borderline acrobatic. Cause you're just like the truth you keep bending. So does your back gather from all that twisting and stretching. You're a shapeshifter. I forget when you lose cover. You point fingers, but your camouflage can only take you so far.
Louise Loon, shapeshifter, and unfortunately we haven't been able to get her back on a clear line, so we're going to chat to Louise in a couple of weeks' time. We'll give her another plug. But you were saying, Emma, that's her debut album.
Yeah, it is her debut single.
And she reached out to us, which is what we love. So email us, info@kickarts.org.nz. If you've got some music coming up that you'd love us to play, we love supporting all our Kiwi artists. Lisa, did you what is it, I guess, that you do to hook in with your New Zealand audience when you're so far away? How do you keep that alive?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just try and, you know, keep in touch with people that have been really supportive, and, you know, there's some people that have supported me since the very start, and they're really, you know, always lovely buying my music on Bandcamp because they know that that's how the artist gets the money rather than Spotify. Nice, and yes. Things. And then, yeah, just try and keep relationships up with people and radio, you know, and I have, you know, sometimes I've gone and used a PR company just to help connect with, you know, things are always changing and platforms are changing and blogs and things, so just kind of get ideas from PR companies every now and then, but try to do as much as I can by myself. And yeah, I guess when I came with Greg Johnson, I got to do some of my own music as well, so that was a chance to tour. I think it was about 8 shows, so each show I got to do one of my songs and connect with some people, and yeah, just try and stay, you know, I think a lot of my listeners, you know, streaming goes, sometimes it's most New Zealand, sometimes it's most in the US, Australia, but just, yeah, just try and stay genuine and write back to, you know, on comments and social media. And
now I need to ask you, because your accent hasn't really taken on too much of an Americanism.
There's a bit in there.
There's a little bit. Oh, but there's still a Kiwi-ish. Now,
What's mum saying?
What do they say over there, though? Do people go, oh, you're not American?
Oh, you're from Australia.
Yeah.
They think I'm Aussie, and then sometimes they'll guess English, and then sometimes then South Africa, and I'm like, I'm from New Zealand. I did do about 5 years in Melbourne before moving to LA, so I can see why people might think I have an Aussie twang, but definitely Kiwi, loyal to the Kiwis. But actually the lady in the American consulate the other day said, you know, it's such a nerve-wracking thing when they're interviewing about your visa and stuff, and then she's, I'm sure some people have told you this, and I thought she was going to make a comment about my passport looking so raggedy, and then she's like, oh, you slip in between a New Zealand and American accent, and yeah. I have gotten teased a little bit from Kiwis saying that I sound American, and then people over there are like, don't understand me sometimes.
Do you find, though, because you do perform, and of course we're taught in performance to kind of pick up all these different accents, so do you find, depending on who you're speaking to,
yeah,
it probably changes a bit?
A little bit, yeah. If I'm around Kiwis, then I'll probably slip more into that, and then some inflections, definitely more American, but I wish I had that when I was auditioning for all those TV shows that were American accents in New Zealand. You know, remember those, Power Rangers and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about the gig coming up. What's brought you here?
Yeah, so a few reasons, when connecting with someone that worked on the Greg Johnson show, he's got a touring company called Plus One, I said, oh, have you got any opening act in slots or anything? Because I got to open for Suzanne Vega through my friend Kurt and, you know, other things. So he said, oh, you know, you could do a show at Big Fan. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And he's like, have you got a single to put out or something? I was like, sure, let's do this. And
I can make a music video in a week.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, so I didn't, not necessarily flying from LA just to play at Big Fan, but let's say I am.
Yes, fantastic. And while you're here, do other catch-ups and things that
absolutely,
you need to do.
Yeah.
So that's this Thursday night at Big Fan.
It is this Thursday at Big Fan, which is such a great facility. They have a venue there, and it's all ages as well. And they have a lot of support for upcoming songwriters and workshops and lots of things going on there. It's a really cool space. So if you're listening to this and you a musician and want to go to some workshops and get to know other young musicians, look up Big Fan. I guess it's in Morningside. So out westish.
And great venues nearby to eat and drink and make an night of it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't had burger fuel yet this trip, and I guess I'm craving it so badly. So that's just reminded me I'm probably going to get burger fuel
on the way
the show,
home.
On the way home.
And where do people get tickets for it?
They can go. It's on the Plus One website. So plusone.co.nz. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
No, that's right. We can check that and give it out at the end of the show.
And that links to Event Finder.
Yeah.
So even on Event Finder,
nice.
You can just find them there, or on, you know, you can see the link on my Instagram, which is Lisa Crawley Music. Yeah, Event Finder has the tickets. So
brilliant.
You can can either go to Plus One or Event Finder. And I'll be playing with a full band as well. So my drummer that I've known since I was 4, Alistair Deverick, who's in lots of different projects and plays for Neil Finn, and friend Finn, who plays amazing trumpet, flute, keyboards, all sorts of things, and Ben King from Golden Horse, who I've collaborated with and Tim Finn's band, and other things. So I just feel lucky to have such a great band. So awesome. Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
It's going to be a good night.
Do a couple of, maybe two sets, actually. So yeah, should be nice. I might even do a song from Once. I'm not sure yet. Oh. We'll see.
Do you take requests? Shall I be like,
I might,
screaming out some random requests?
I might do a section of taking requests. I don't know. We'll see. But in America, often it comes through digitally. So you see, someone's giving you $3 for this song or $20 for this song. And it's,
oh, really?
It's really a different kind of system there. Not for my original gigs. That would be awkward.
Yeah.
But even dueling pianos with this two piano players, and you kind of go song for song and you throw songs to each other. You might know that one. You might know that one.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, it's a fun way of paying the rent while people pay to try songs.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. All right. Next trip to LA.
Yes, we'll need to add this in. And I also play in a Fleetwood Mac tribute. It's called Rumours, and we travel around America and Canada. So I get to do my Christine McVie thing there. So, yeah, it's been a fun gig to have on the side.
Fun variety. All right, let's take a music break. The Gatekeeper, tell us about this one.
Okay, so if you are a musician, and perhaps especially if you're a woman, you might be told what to wear, what to do, why you're not more successful, what kind of sound you need. And looking at the screen of the music video as well, I played a dinner party for, I didn't even know where I was going, 10 people, and one of them was Jack Black. And it turned in, the cocktail music turned into a Queen sing-along, and his bandmate, John Spiker, was singing with him, and it was just this awesome moment. And then John said, oh, who are you? We should do some songs together. And so I did an EP I released last year with this guy, John Spiker, and it was really lovely to work with him. And we're both like quite geeky and silly, and we just like joke around all the time. And there was this missing section in the middle, and I said, oh, what should we put in there? Let's just see. And then we had a joke of, oh, why don't we just audition soloists as a joke, as like a little thing. And I got so many people wanting to audition for the solo, but it was actually just meant to be a joke.
Brilliant.
Like a little marketing thing. And so the Gatekeeper, kind of the idea is, you know, in the music video I have little clips of guys, not the official video, but like side clips of people coming in to audition to do the solo. And one's a folky guy, one's a jazz guy, one's a thing. And they're all like, oh, your song could be better this way. And so the Gatekeeper is sort of like Elizabeth in a way, and nodding to that unsolicited advice. It was a really fun song to make. And I added my clarinet arrangements, and that's how I got that one. And
right. How many instruments do you play?
A few?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen. Here is The Gatekeeper.
Hey, my name is Lisa Crawley.
Oh,
multi-platinum Grammy-winning producer John Spiker.
Yep, and I've written a song called The Gatekeeper. I've been working with John, and
we need a solo.
Something is missing. There's like a little section there, and that's where you come in.
Yeah. Come on down, show us what you got. If you got the stuff, you'll get the gig.
Any instrument. Get in touch with me. We're having auditions next Wednesday. I'll send you the song, some reference tracks, and
we'll see you then.
Look forward to seeing you then.
Watch your love and watch your language. Do you think it might have vanished? Has disappeared. Time to wipe the crystal clear. First a challenge, now a chapter. Overlooked, but now it matters. Take your time, was taken too. Literally, so overdue. Cause I've always been the gatekeeper, and you're a little late here, sir. I let you in too many times. What's in is out.
intuition, spider senses. Still you're sitting on the fences. Scared the phone will never ring. Take all the calls, take everything. Cause I've always been the gatekeeper. And you're a little late here, sir. I let you in too many times. What's in is out, not yours to find. So don't come knocking, cause I'll be stopping you this time. Don't turn on the light, don't try to change my mind. This is goodnight. Had the chance to stay, could have met halfway. You only look out.
Our listeners are going to jump onto YouTube and see some of these amazing music videos. So, reminder, this Thursday at Big Fan, and we're heading to Event Finder to get some tickets.
Event Finder, that's right. And I think it's about 8 o'clock, full band. It's going to be a great time. So make sure you come along and check out Big Fan as a place as well if you're interested in connecting with songwriting and, other musicians.
Very cool. Lisa, it's so awesome to have you drop by and chat to us in person. We'll keep playing your music wherever you are in the world. Keep sending them our way, although we subscribe and we just follow you and just play it. Emma, you're taking a break next week. You're zipping off somewhere.
Yeah, I've got rehearsal for Hadestown down in Waikatupu High School. Nice. So, and the flight's not going to get me home on time. I'm sorry.
That's quite okay. Kristen will be in and we'll keep things ticking. Have a fabulous week, everyone. Make sure you email us, info@kickerhearts.org.nz. All our guests and their information, everything's up on our socials and our event page. So go and check it out. And we'll close the show with Hey You. You want to give us a quick snapshot of this one?
Hey You is kind of a moody Amy Winehousey track. It's it's about contemplating life and feeling can be lonely even when you're by yourself, when you're with someone else. Sorry, it's observing someone that looks like they could be having a bit of time, wondering what's going on. And the music video is set at the Dresden, which is a very, very old venue I play at in LA. Yeah.
Brilliant. All right. Have a fabulous week. Have a great gig.
Thank you so much to both of you.
And make sure you
kick some arts.
Nice. And so it goes. And so I'm going. I'm tired of knowing. Tired of not knowing. Who do I call to find? I'm so worn out. Where was my warning? Hey you. Hey you. Where do you go when you're all alone? Is there room for two? Hey you. Hey you. My eyes are wide, open for
teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 let's go kick some ass.